And we're back. You're listening to Money Talks, this longest running, most respected money show on radio. I'm Matt Hames here with Troy Harmon, Nick Antonucci, KC Smith, covering a pretty wide variety of topics today.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Economic data to trust in estates to back to getting into share buybacks. But yeah. Let me give the phone number and email address one more time real quick. If you've got questions you want us to speak to, things you want us to explain or address or give our opinion on, you can reach us during the week at 770-429-9166, or you can email us at drgene@hensler.com. So this is a first world problem here we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. But it does come up, and it's a reality that happens in many situations. But the estate tax laws over the years have changed and in some ways gotten better, in some ways gotten worse. But what we're going to talk about is this situation that we got. Cordelia is the name we've given this lady, widowed since 1989. She's actually 79 years old, so she's been a widow for a while now. And she's got a total estate that is larger than the $5.43 million federal estate tax exclusion. So she's got a lot of money, and the question comes down to, Casey, you and I have been talking about this a little bit all day today. What are some things that she needs to be thinking about to plan as it relates to, without asking you to be an attorney on the air here?
Yeah, I was going to say, let me offer a disclaimer.
Yeah, so, but what are some strategies that we see being used the issue here is she's got over $7 million in assets, and the reality of the fact that everything over $5.43 million for her is going to be going to have to deal with estate taxes.
Sure. So, Casey, let me help you out a little bit, too. The first advice is not to have four children.
That is where I would start.
Don't do that.
Probably.
Yeah. No, don't.
Well, that might
not
help
at
her
79.
Get some of that money out of her estate, though. She'd give more people that she can gift to.
So. Right.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's really the theme, is what we're talking about is gifting. Generally speaking, when people have large estates above the estate tax exclusion, that's kind of where they start. And, you know, aside from just the gift, you know, $14,000 per year per beneficiary type of thing, there are other avenues and vehicles that she can use to get large chunks of that money out of her estate and still retain some of the benefit of having that money at her disposal, in case she needs it. I mean, in her case, she's spending about $90,000 a year after tax, it looks like. She does have a need for some income of some type. One of the interesting things, you know, that we see from time to time, it's called a grantor retained annuity trust, a GRAT.
A GRAT.
And the way that works is really to transfer property into the trust. And you structure it in such a way, and again, I'm not an attorney, and this can get pretty complicated, so if you're planning to do something like this, you should seek professional advice. But the way that the GRAT works is to transfer the property to the trust, and you can do that in such a manner, if it's structured properly, that you don't have to pay gift tax at that time. And you basically retain a portion of that amount as an annuity. So you pay yourself an income stream from the assets in the trust.
Yeah, so you basically, the way those are set up, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong here, KC, basically you establish a trust that you're going to put assets into, and there's an interest rate that the IRS gives you.
That's right.
That allows you to calculate based on a term that you can select. It can be 10, 15, 20 years.
Yep.
And there's strategy that goes along with how long you want that term to be.
There is. The biggest problem with these is if the grantor, the person putting the money into the trust, dies during the term,
yep,
then that a portion or all of the money that they put in the trust could eventually be pulled back into the estate. So you want to avoid that. That's
yep.
why you kind of want to limit the term as much as you can.
So is her being 79, 15 years a bit
aggressive? That'd probably be a little bit aggressive.
Yep.
The other thing that the reason that this is an appropriate vehicle at this point in time is with interest rates being as low as they are, the applicable federal rate that's applied when you're figuring the amount of the annuity for the portion that you're retaining is relatively low. So you're not on the hook for a large annuity stream that the trust does have to pay, whether there's assets in there or not.
So practically what happens, you gift money into the trust.
Right.
there is a term basically assigned to it. Let's argue for the sake of this example, maybe it's 10 years
sure.
that you want to say, I'm going to retain an interest in the property from an annuity perspective. So not to confuse this with an insurance product. This is not an annuity as in a fixed or a variable annuity. This is an annuity stream.
Correct.
So the trust is going to pay based off an interest rate that yep. the IRS dictates, and the term that you're going to have built into the trust, it's going to pay an annuity stream, an income stream back right, to the grantor.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a cash flow that comes back to the person that put the money into the trust.
And the idea is that you can earn a higher amount of whatever you're putting into the trust, so that the assets in the trust are going to grow at a rate hopefully higher than whatever the rate of the annuity stream is. So you end up getting back into your estate the income at a lower rate than the assets inside the trust are growing. So basically, I mean, it's a simple matter of the with the interest rates being as low as they are, the retained portion of the trust is less valuable yep. in some sense than the remainder interest. So the remainder interest is going to be more valuable, hopefully, and then you win.
Well, and there's a future value calculation, right? Or a exactly. present value.
Yeah.
Present value calculation done. So whatever you put into the trust, those assets are going to pass tax free to at the value.
Yeah, because you're
death.
Because you're giving it to the trust during your lifetime, it's technically a gift, and the gift and estate tax exclusion are essentially tied together. So you can put up to the estate tax exclusion into the trust gift tax free. You can actually put more than that, and then the annuity is designed to pull that back out so that that's not factored into the gift. So you end up owing no gift tax. Getting that full value of the trust out of your estate, and it can be a very powerful vehicle for doing that, but you know, there's a lot of complication around it.
Yeah, so if documented correctly, and if you do it wisely, and you seek good counsel, to your point, you can give away up to your entire federal estate tax exclusion. So she could give away up to $5.43 million
sure.
without paying taxes.
And she can actually give the full value of her estate, essentially, and she gets it back in the form of income, but, you know, which is taxable. So she has to pay tax on the income, but if she spends it or even gives that away, you know, then she can get that out of her estate.
And the taxes you're going to pay on that are, you would assume, are going to be a lot less than
most
than
likely. Yeah, with the estate tax, I mean, the maximum rate is 40%, I think, now.
Yeah. Well, and here I'll take this chance to make a plug here for, you know, look, you need to seek professional help with this. And specifically from a tax attorney perspective, I mean, getting someone, Casey, like yourself, a CFP is important from a plan overall perspective. You need that kind of help, someone who understands this stuff. But when it comes to selecting an attorney, I can't tell you how many times we've seen it. People come in here, they sit down, and they say, well, yeah, I've got a will. And, well, who drew up the will? Well, it's the guy I had basically handled the closing on my refi when I refinanced my house last time. And,
right.
and not to say that a real estate attorney couldn't also draft a will, but all attorneys aren't cut from the same cloth.
Sure.
Really strongly, especially in a case where you've got assets and there's real planning needed, you need to get with an attorney that specializes in tax law,
yeah.
that understands this stuff. And even beyond that, and I'll hush on this after I make this statement, but there are even two types of attorneys, of estate planning attorneys out there, and we've seen it. There are those that look to plan and create instruments and vehicles like a GRAT, like what we're describing here, and many other types. And that's the way they solve for an estate tax problem. And then there are those that say, well, you know, there's an insurance policy you could buy to insure against this. And I'm not saying that insurance doesn't have an appropriate place in an estate plan. It can. But be very careful that the attorney you work with isn't really just selling you insurance to pay for the estate tax as
right.
opposed to planning around having an estate tax bill due.
Right.
Yeah. So let's a hot button topic from my perspective. I've seen it happen too many times. People go sit down, think they're going to get their estates worked out, and they really get sold a bunch of insurance.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. Yeah. Good point.
Well, let's put a bow around this case study we talked about a little bit in the last session. We got just a couple minutes here before our next break. And Casey, I know you and I have talked about other things other than just vehicles, such as, you know, we had mentioned a GRAT and there are things
Eyelets.
Eyelets, Cuperts. There's all kinds of things that you can put put assets into. But what are some other ideas of how we can reduce a taxable estate?
Just some simpler things without, you know, having to get attorneys involved and draft complicated documents. You know, you can gift up to $14,000 per year per beneficiary, you know, and avoid any kind of estate or gift tax And that doesn't go against your federal estate tax exclusion. So that is a simple way to do it, and that's per person. So a married couple can do $28,000. You do have to file a gift tax return if you're going to be gift splitting like that.
And just because you're filing the gift tax return, just to be clear, doesn't mean you owe taxes.
That's right.
There's an informational return at that point.
Informational return, exactly.
If you need extra beneficiaries, I got a list, too.
I was going to say, so I can provide my contact information if you want to call our group now.
You know, another thing is paying for medical expenses and paying for education. You can actually make payments directly to the institution, either the you know, medical for medical expenses or directly to a college for tuition and things like that. That also does not count against your gift. It would not be taxed
as a gift.
As a gift. And then the 529 plan is really an interesting way to get a big chunk of money again into a gift. You can gift $14,000, you know, per year, again, the normal annual exclusion amount. You can also spread that out and do a five-year gift at one time. So you could gift $70,000 per person or $140,000 as a couple into a 529 plan for a child's education in 1 year. Mm-hmm. Now you have to prorate that out each year and file a gift tax return again.
Each year, yeah.
So
in her case, the older grandchildren, you can do a kind of a catch-up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right. A one-time.
What about in the case that the person passes during that five-year period? Does that get lumped back into their estate?
That is a good question. I think what actually happens is it's an irrevocable gift, I'm pretty sure, at the time that you give it. So that money's out of the estate. As far as the 529 plan being spread out, I'd have to look into that.
Gotcha.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Thanks,
well,
Nick.
Right. Putting you on the spot.
Yeah. Good job, Nick. That's a great question.
We didn't go over that in the meeting notes.
Well, listen, we're going to take another break here and see if we can't get ready for our last segment. But, again, you're listening to Money Talks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back after this break.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.